Here's your money briefing for Monday, September 28th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. More businesses closed during the first 3 months of the pandemic than usually go under in an entire year. But while that might make it seem like a bad idea to open a new one, some laid-off workers are facing the downturn head-on by turning entrepreneur.
You've had tens of millions of people lose their jobs instantly and had to, you know, in many cases, their job has kind of disappeared for a while, hopefully not permanently, but in some cases, like, you know, certain kinds of retail, leisure, hospitality, live entertainment, their job is gone until, you know, we get the pandemic under control. So they've had to figure out ways of reinventing themselves.
We'll hear more from economics reporter Gwynne Guilford and a 26-year-old new business owner in Wisconsin. That's after the break. Hundreds of thousands of small businesses across the country have been forced to close in recent months, and millions of people have lost their jobs. But what looks like an economic disaster seems to have become fertile ground for young entrepreneurs who are seeking the opportunity to take the risk and open their own shops. Economics reporter Gwynne Guilford has been talking to some of them. So, Gwynne, you know, entrepreneurs start new businesses all the time, but what kind of numbers are we talking about for this year so far?
So far this year, there have been 3.2 million applications for employer ID numbers, and that's what you have to do to start a new business. That's up from 2.7 million at the same period in 2019. And when you look at businesses that are likely to become employers in the future, that's 1.1 million. And that's up 12% from the same period last year. And it's not quite at levels that we were at before the Great Recession, but it's higher, that 1.1 million is higher than we've seen in more than a decade.
Now, how has the cycle of closing and reopening of cities around the country made it a good time for startup businesses?
It's really hard to tell what exactly is going on because we don't have good real-time data on the scale of business closures. However, we know enough to know that it's huge. More businesses have closed in the first 3 months of the crisis than you usually have in an entire year. And, you know, it's not like the recovery has picked up that much. We're on track to have a really just colossal scale of failures this year. And while that's devastating for local economies and it's wiped out tens of millions of people's jobs, it is probably creating space for new enterprises to fill the void. So that could be part of why we're seeing a surge in new business creation. Another aspect is that part of the reason businesses are struggling so much right now, existing businesses, is that the pandemic has changed the way we do business in so many industries. And that may be creating an opportunity for new entrants to sort of disrupt and upset, you know, unseat established firms that, you know, that are changing their ways too slowly to keep up. So in some industries, like, you know, maybe retail, where things are changing really fast, that could be a factor helping drive new business creation also.
And new businesses like these are vital to the labor market.
Yeah, so the economists look to the new business creation number as a leading indicator of, you know, a lot of economic conditions more generally, but also, you know, future labor market demand. And that's because most businesses, more than half of new businesses, fail within 5 years. And those that don't, most of them remain pretty small. But those that are the exceptions, you know, that small minority, grow extremely fast. And those are really important engines of new jobs created. And new businesses account for about 20% of new jobs created. And then when you factor in young businesses that have maybe started within the last few years, it's getting close to half of the new jobs that are created each year.
And, you know, during this downturn through government relief, money has actually been able to go into people's pockets. How much of this rise in new businesses has been fueled by savings that people have been able to put away?
The personal savings rate is 17.4% right now, which is unheard of. It's come down slightly from, you know, a few months ago, but, you know, that's around three times what it was during the Great Recession. And in short, people have a lot more savings that they can invest in new ventures. And that likely is helping some people feel confident in, you know, taking a chance on their business idea. Then the other thing to keep in mind is that the housing market is up quite a bit in most places. And that's very different from the last recession, obviously, which was triggered by a housing market collapse. And that in the, you know, lots of small business owners depend on, you know, sort of their personal wealth to finance their ventures. So, you know, in general, financial conditions are a lot better for entrepreneurs right now.
And in addition to people opening more traditional storefront businesses, lots of individuals have ventured out and more or less, you know, had to reinvent their careers.
Yeah, so you've had tens of millions of people lose their jobs instantly and had to, you know, and in many cases, their job has kind of disappeared for a while, hopefully not permanently, but in some cases, like, you know, certain kinds of retail, leisure, hospitality, live entertainment, their job is gone until, you know, we get the pandemic under control. So they've had to figure out ways of reinventing themselves, and that's undoubtedly a huge part of what's driving the surge in new business applications. And some of those people will probably end up being sole proprietors. They won't hire anybody. But some people are, you know, figuring out ways to make businesses that will hire people and that could become dynamic parts of our economy going forward.
Now, one of those people who has reinvented his career is Ian Astrike. He lives in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, Ian, you worked at a fitness club and now have your own bicycle repair business. That's a pretty hard turn. Tell us about that transition.
Yeah, so the job I had was at Orange Theory Fitness, which was a fitness coach. And so the writing was sort of on the wall, right? You're in the fitness industry and industries are slowly closing around you. We were actually kind of one of the last ones to be open in the city. So I sort of knew it was coming. And that's actually how this backyard bicycle started, is I didn't want to just sit around on my hands and do nothing. So I thought, you know, what are my other skills? What do I know how to do? And I've tuned up bikes since I was a kid. So I was like, all right, I'm in my fitness classes, right? Like over the microphone before and after class. I'm like, hey, does anybody need a bike tune-up? Anybody have a bike that needs a tune-up? And so that's how it started. And they would either bring them to my house or I would go to their house. And then when I was at their houses, I realized like, oh, your neighbors could totally use a tune-up, right? Like just walk them next door. So that's sort of how the then pop-up bike shop idea started. But yeah, it stemmed from knowing that I was going to be out of that fitness coaching job.
Wow. And then once the pandemic took hold, how did people being home every day affect your bike repair business?
It was absolutely perfect because this pop-up bike shop idea really would have just melded so well with the city on a weekend, right? Because I set up a pop-up bike shop. Oh, everybody's home. It's the weekend. You can walk your bike over. Now, with COVID, everyone working from home, essentially every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, is a weekend day because they're home. So they can walk between their Zoom calls, their bike over, and then pick up between their Zoom calls. So in that way, basically 7 days a week, I was able to do this business, which is amazing.
So is it just you working on bike repairs or do you have people working with you?
At this point, it is just me. So I launched about 6 months ago and it kind of feels like I built a rocket, lit it, and then I've just been holding on ever since. So at this point, it's me. However, next year, I definitely have plans to scale and bring on 1 to 2 other mechanics in order to offer when I'm on one area of the city, maybe they're in a different city doing a pop-up shop. And also looking towards next year, expanding with more mechanics, actually pairing with local businesses and setting pop-ups, maybe at breweries or, you know, local co-ops.
Okay, so you have a pretty good plan in place, but, you know, nobody really knows when getting back to normal will happen. Do you have any sort of a plan for when some sense of normality actually returns?
You know, what will the normal be? We don't really know. But let's say the normal is exactly what it was. Everybody's back at work. You know, people aren't working from home during the week. Even then, this is going to work really well because I plan on actually pairing with partners, businesses that have strong wellness initiatives. So these would be larger corporations, basically just a, hey, employees, bike your bike into work, have it tuned up while you're at work, and then you can bike it home. And maybe that would be subsidized by the businesses. Maybe it wouldn't, probably independent based on the businesses. But yeah, so even if and when people do go back to work in whatever capacity that may be, just doing workplace tune-ups, I think is going to work out wonderfully.
And money-wise, how's the bike repair business compared to the fitness club?
I'm making much more with the bike business. And that's certainly a product of me owning my own business, right? If you work at a local bike shop as a bike mechanic, you would not be making more than, you know, typical fitness coach. However, yeah, as a product of me working for myself and starting these pop-ups, definitely I'm making more money. It's great.
All right, that's Ian Astrike in Madison, Wisconsin. Now, Gwen, I wanted to ask you, this rise in entrepreneurship like Ian's story has brought to light the concept of creative destruction. Can you explain what that is?
So creative destruction is this concept that was popularized by the Austrian economist Joseph Schumpeter in the 1940s, and it describes how new innovative businesses often displace the older existing ones that have grown inefficient. And that process buoys long-term prosperity because it takes, you know, the assets in the economy that aren't being used as efficiently and, you know, reallocates them, shuffles them over to the businesses that are going to use them in a way to create more wealth.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Gwen Gilford. Gwen, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.